Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Get up, get up, get up. It's a Get Up Show.
Welcome, friends. Welcome all the beautiful people to the Simon Says podcast. That's us. We're the Get Up Show. Sean and Maddie here. Charlie's off because of the thing that happened.
Yeah, we don't like to talk about it right now.
Nah, I'm not going to talk about it right now.
No, let's not talk about it right now.
Probably shouldn't talk about it.
No, it's lawsuits and whatnot.
Yeah, don't talk about it. But we're glad that you're here. We appreciate you so much. You're the reason that we do this, that, and, you know, that they let us do it. So be sure that you subscribe and like and all of those things. So you went all the way to the mountains to get a Christmas tree. Did you cut it yourself?
So that was the disappointing thing. So we went all the way to Boone to a tree lot, and it was super neat. Like, you go in and they tell you where to go, and then they give you a giant stick, and then they point you in the direction of, here's where we're cutting from this, you know, today.
Wait a minute, you're saying stuff. What do they give you a giant stick for?
To measure the tree. It's got marks on it. So, like, how many feet?
Got it.
So, and then the pricing goes by how many, you know, feet it is.
Sure.
But I was all excited, you know, because I was led to believe it was a cut-your-own-tree kind of scenario.
Was it a BYOCS?
No. And if I had brought my CS, I would not have been allowed to take it up onto the mountain with me.
Why?
So I just had to waggle my stick around, and then the nice man came over and cut my tree down for me, and then they haul it back down, and then I pull my truck up, and then they threw it on top, and away we went for the 2 hours back from Boone.
So you drove all that way to get a tree, and the only difference was you got to see them kill it.
Yeah, and I got to pick it out. It was almost like, you know, choose your own. It's like, who's going down today? You. So I was the ender of tree life. But, you know, on the other side of it is that we are now, God, we did it on Thanksgiving Day. So week later-ish, and it hasn't really started dropping needles yet. I mean, so it was real fresh.
Did y'all do that thing where you drill a hole up into the center of it and stuff it with cotton balls?
No, that's a thing?
Oh, dude, you don't know about that?
No, doesn't it make that more flammable, or is it to suck the water up?
Flammable? No, you drill a hole up into the trunk, right in the center of the trunk, that center ring.
Yeah.
After they do the fresh cut, which your whole thing was a fresh cut, so
right.
that negates having to do a fresh cut. But you do the fresh cut, and then you drill straight up into the middle, and then you shove cotton balls up in that, and that adds to the, I think the technical term is the sucker-upperness, so that it really pulls water up in there.
Yeah.
And it'll drink more water and keep it fresher longer, but I don't know that any of those tricks work, like putting sugar in the dang thing or putting aspirins in there or whatever.
But
I don't know.
By doing that, aren't you, in fact, giving it a wick?
What are you putting in your tree stand? Are you putting gasoline in there? I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, if it dries out, if something happens, then my tree is stuffed full of cotton.
Are you lighting your tree?
Not on purpose. I don't know what happens. You know, look, I watched a video the other day of a cat and a dog playing, and the cat was standing too close to a candle, and then its tail set on fire, and it ran around the house setting things on fire.
Now, that's good comedy. I saw a squirrel do that in a video one time. The squirrel got too close to a candle and caught on fire, and squirrels don't know.
No.
So it just ran around setting stuff on fire.
It doesn't know to stop, drop, and roll. It just knows to run around in terror.
Yeah. They don't stop or drop or roll.
No, they like to find curtains. Let me stand in your curtains.
So everybody, this year, I think the hardest item to find, there's one every year. And I can remember when I was a kid, Cabbage Patch Kids were probably the first fist fight item in memory.
Yeah, for me too.
At the stores, yeah. I don't remember ever asking for anything that was super-de-duper hard to find. Like this year, the PS5, I believe, is probably the one.
That and the new Xbox, they both kind of came out at the same time, and both of them are ridiculously expensive and hard to find, which I think is crazy when companies do that. They're like, yeah, this is going to be the best, hottest new thing. Here's five of them. Now fight, peasants. You know, get at it.
Well, it's the best marketing ploy ever to make fewer than you need. So that there's that ravenous want for them, you know?
Yeah, but I feel like it would have been fine on its own. Like, even if it wasn't five of them, I mean, you put out, you know, 5,000, you know, a million, that I think there would have been sold. So that doesn't make any sense to me.
Nah, I think you have to put that, oh my God, I can't have it, so I want it thing out there. That's part of it.
Oh, the ooh, I want it factor.
Yes, that. But, you know, it's so foreign to me. I was never a huge video game guy. I told you the last video game that I had was a borrowed Nintendo, and I got so hooked on it. This was in Raleigh, G105 days.
Okay,
that I was playing the Mario 3 and trying to swim under the lava, and I would be late to work. Just one more time. I know I could swim under that damn lava. I'm going to try it one more time. But that was the last video game that I really got into. I got one of those little things that you plug into your TV that has classic like Pac-Man and Galaga, because Galaga was my arcade game, man. I would rule at Galaga.
It's not as much fun as you think it would be. Like, I got one of those from my kid, and I was like, oh, that's super cool. And I plugged it in. I'm like, oh, this is real. The graphics are terrible in this game.
That and you miss the feeling of the buttons. Like, you have your system. You have your stance. And the feeling, like, you remember the sit-down versions of those games that they used to have at Pizza Hut?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They sucked. Sure. Because it didn't feel the same. Like, oh, man, they got a Galaga in here. I'm going to sit down in this cramped little school desk and play it. Nah. You could never beat your high score in that thing.
You know,
but anyway.
It's funny because I've been playing a game that I bought at the beginning of quarantine. I bought it online for way too much money, but I have gotten my money's worth out of this game. I've been playing it almost a couple times a week. Like multiple times a week, usually.
Is this the one where you were stalking, trying to find where a woman had broken a man's heart and sold his game super cheap? What a great plan. Tell me about that.
Oh, well, yeah, my thought was to look on Facebook Marketplace when this game, it was a college football game for Xbox. And I was thinking like, all right, well, I bet some girlfriend or, you know, situation or wife is going to like sell her husband's games and not know what she's selling and not realize that it's worth a lot of money. Or a mom is going to clean out a kid's collection.
Yeah.
Because they're in trouble or something. And I'll win that way. But it didn't work out for me.
God, you're cold hearted. You're awful.
Look, man, I'd like to think that it would be full circle in the universe, and that person would be sad, but at least they would know that it's going to a good place.
So your life sucks, but I win.
Yeah, I win off of your misery in your face.
Yeah, I'm glad I never got into that. I'm glad that my kid isn't into those either, but I know a lot of people whose kids are.
Dude,
and
even mine, we had to have a heart-to-heart with our teens that, you know, look, they can beg and plead all they want, but we're done buying game systems. Like that's it. Now they have officially hit that point where, you know, you're of an age to start generating your own income, because they were begging back and forth about the stupid Nintendo Switch. But meanwhile, we've got, you know, two Wiis, multiple Xboxes. You know what I mean? Like, so just you're done. You're done at this point.
If you got one more Wii, you could go Wii all the way home.
I'm already home. Look at that. Here's want some roast beef.
Here's some five habits that cause people to avoid you. See if you have any of these.
To avoid me? Okay.
Anybody who has these habits.
Yeah.
Do you talk too much?
Sometimes, yeah.
Well, sometimes I think you have that nervous thing where you feel.
Oh, my God, yeah. And I think about, that's the problem, and then I realize I'm doing it because you've told me that in meetings, to shut up.
I never said shut up.
No, you're right. You haven't used that word, but you have definitely, I've gotten glances and texts to wrap it up.
Because sometimes in your need to say words to fill because you're nervous, you'll give away the whole farm.
I know. I understand. And I get made fun of because, like, I'll have conversations with, like, strangers, and then everybody gets embarrassed because I won't stop it. Like, it's like, or I'll ask another question, and then I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Look what I've done.
You got to always leave it on a high, man. You get to that good point. I don't care if you've only said three words. If they laugh or if you've made them feel good, whatever it is, if you get to that pinnacle of emotion is what I say.
That's like the Costanza thing, the George Costanza of, like, he would make somebody laugh and then drop the mic and walk out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought about that. But a lot of times, you know, it'd be like in the show where he just sat down, he made a funny, and then he, well, I got to go.
That's it.
I got to go.
Totally agree with that in all aspects of life. Talking too much is the first thing that causes people to avoid you. That puts people off with, if you just talk too much, not returning any favors. If you always accept favors, but you do not reciprocate.
I always try. Like, I try. Yeah, no, you're good at that. I mean, I like to think that I try to go out of my way. You know, if I say, hey, I owe you one, if someone comes to me and I know that I owe them some, like, I'll go out of my way to try to make it happen. If I can do it.
You rock at that. I just don't think I'm good at much. I don't know what favors I can return because I'm not very skilled in any ways.
Well, see, you pay me back all the time with when I have culinary questions. You're like my own butterball turkey hotline.
Oh, I'm your butterball.
Oh, look at you. Look at you.
The next one is having bad breath.
Oh, that's a problem. I mean, and that's a bummer.
People will reject you if you have bad breath. Brush your teeth. Have mints nearby. It's one of those things that we don't pay attention to, or we can't really smell our own breath. Now, that's bad. I guess if you did smell your own, it would be way out of line by then.
But then here's the question. If you do the old into your hand and sniff, or like, have you ever done the thing where you breathe out and then sniff in real quick with your nose?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that an accurate representation of your breath, or are you still not quite getting the full effect?
I think that it's not, since it's your own, you're not getting the full impact of it. I think you got to have somebody on standby, like Michael had Dwight, and he could go right in his face, and Dwight's response was, good, not great.
My kid got me the other day. I was looking at something on my phone, and she was over my shoulder, and it was first thing in the morning, so that's in her defense. But man, I wanted to be like, yo, go right now and clean that.
Oh, your daughter had bad breath?
Well, it's first thing in the morning, so I can't give her too much, you know, grief, but oh, it was bad.
Yeah, and there's sometimes, like, some people get a pass. Like, if you're in a loving relationship with somebody, or if it's your child, you give them a pass. But then, this is so accurate, because if it's somebody else that you don't have to interact with and they chronically have stank breath, I'm just not going to deal with them anymore.
Yeah, no,
oh my God. I dated a girl in DC and she had rotten breath, and I realized it was because of her teeth, man. And I had to end that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, because it's hard to drop the subtle hints. So, like, she wasn't having good tooth hygiene. She wasn't going to the dentist and stuff.
She had, like, you know, her teeth were touching. She had, like, you know, overlapping teeth on the bottom, and I realized after some time that's what that is. And you can't say anything. You can't subtly be like, hey, eat these Altoids. These are great. Have you heard of these?
Hey,
these are curiously strong peppermints.
Hey, you know what? You know what's super attractive to me? You know, it's kind of my big turn on is, let me floss your teeth. Let me get in there. Go on. I had a situation in a store. I'm not going to give any indication, just in case. I doubt this person would listen, but I had to buy something and it required the salesperson being, you know, right on me.
Yeah.
And Dude, his mouth was foul. And I look at my wife and I'm like, this is not good. And she's like, what are you talking
about?
Yeah. And she's like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. And then he went and said something to her. She was like, oh, I gotcha. And so I thought, oh, maybe it was just a bad day. We had to go back to that same store. And sure enough, man, there's my guy. And my guy was still.
Again?
Just vicious. Huh. Oh, it was just. I can't even describe it. It's just that hot, burning eye water smell.
I had to do some business with these guys at this boat store, and he had this thing that he always did. He said if somebody would come in and they had that kind of breath, he would say, hey, did you step in poop? And if they'd say no, he'd say, here, have an Altoid.
Oh, see, that's... See, I hate that because I don't want... Okay, and I guess at the root of it all is I don't want to be that guy. And that's my terror. My terror is that no one would tell me that my breath is that bad. Like, I feel like you would have said something to me if you had noticed it. Because we, you know, in our time together, we've worked for a very long time. And you notoriously have the minty smell of your Banaka spray. But I feel like you would have said something to me, right? Like, we're cool enough that you would tell me if I had the worst breath in the world.
I've never noticed anything offensive about your smells.
I want to make it clear that you or Charlie both have the right to tell me, like, this is a real relationship, and that we spend as much time as my loved ones, and I request, if I smell bad, I want to know about it.
The next thing that makes people avoid you is acting snobbish when you're cold. Act snobbish or simply look down on other people because you're too insecure
that
you'll be rejected.
Oh, so just shut them down before you get shut down kind of thing?
Yeah, I used to do a lot of that.
Maybe. I don't know.
And the final one is if you're a know-it-all.
Well... I feel like we have somebody in the room who might not want to think about that. Huh? You know what I'm saying?
She's not even here, man. Don't talk about her if she's not here because of what happened.
Look, you're a little. You got a little bit of that too, sir. I'm just
in what
saying.
Way? Tell me 50 or 75 examples.
Yeah, I just feel like sometimes somebody who knows the answer all the time is like, no, this is the answer.
Yeah, but I can also tell you when I'm wrong. I mean, it's super rare. I can probably count on one hand the number.
Yeah, and that hand belongs to an old grizzled shop teacher who's seen some stuff. Yeah.
Right. No, I mean... Yeah, I think I do have that kind of I know a lot of stuff thing, but it's only because I know a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but it's also interesting, too, when it pops up, because it's usually about stuff that you wouldn't even think that you would know about. Well, what I mean by that is just random trivia. Like, hey,
useless.
By the way.
Useless crap that'll never get me anywhere in life.
But also, that stuff isn't rubbed in my face. But there are other times where I feel like it's a little bit of, yeah.
Oh, well, that's completely for effect. Because here's the thing. You can't avoid me as long as you work here.
That's true. I need this. So.
So good luck. Good luck with that.
Well, then I'm going to bring my stink around you.
So there's a new thing. They're asking for weird cookie recipes, and you could make money at it. I can't even think of a weird cookie recipe.
Yeah.
Tell me, do you think this is weird? Because I got some looks when I talked about this. I don't love chocolate chip cookies. But I like the cookie part. Like when, I don't eat this kind of crap anymore, but like if you got Chips Ahoy.
Yeah.
Not the chewy ones because they are awful. They taste like some kind of oil. They taste like an industrial accident.
I disagree. I will crush some soft serve cookies.
Oh my God. But I'm talking about the Chips Ahoy soft ones.
Okay. Not those, but the
Something
other
Something went
one.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Something happened in there and they were like, it's too late now. We got them in the package.
Right. I mean, we got to make our cash.
But the original Chips Ahoy cookies, I would love to come across one of those that had little or no chocolate chips. Like there'd be one every few packages where you come across one and it would be mostly cookie and almost no chocolate chips. That's what I want. And I think it's a molasses cookie. And that's what I want is just the cookie without the chocolate chips. Do you find that weird?
Yeah.
God, that's what I want.
Well, I guess I was going to say, isn't that a sugar cookie? But it's a completely different cookie. No, you're right.
No.
I'm trying to think. It's been a while. It's the brown sugar, so it is molasses. Because
it's a molasses cookie.
The last time I was a Toll House champ. I had a Toll House cookbook I used to love making cookies.
And that used to make me so mad when they would call a chocolate chip cookie a Toll House cookie. I didn't want to hear it. What does that mean? Why? Why is it Toll House?
It's just the chocolate chips.
But why?
I don't know. That's just tell like the me. Brand name. What, I don't know what to tell you. It's a brand name chocolate
it's not.
Chip. Yeah,
no.
It is.
No.
Why? What's the brand name of chocolate chips?
Hershey's.
No.
Nestle.
We never use those. Wait a minute. Nestle's is Toll House.
Well, then why?
I don't know. I never used, you know, it's not till later in life where you're like, well, I'm going to bouge this up and get some Ghirardelli or what's some other really high-end ones? But I get it. I totally get what you're talking about. And so you just like, if you just want to get like, make the batter for a chocolate chip cookie, but then never put the chocolate chips in or put like a fraction of the chips in.
No chips, man. I don't want no chips in there. You know what would be good though? Like a walnut. The Toll House Inn the Toll House Inn of Whitman, Massachusetts was established in 1930 by Kenneth and Ruth Graves. Wakefield. Oh, shoot. They got more names. Kenneth and Ruth Graves Wakefield.
Okay.
Toll House chocolate chip cookies are named after the inn. Contrary to its name and the sign, which still stands despite the building having burned down in 1984, the site was never a toll house. It was built in 1817, not 1709.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. I'm telling you. Oh, I'm telling you now.
Oh, thanks.
So apparently. All right, stand by.
But
Ruth Wakefield cooked all the food served and soon gained local fame for her desserts in 1936 while adapting her butter drop dough cookie recipe. She invented the first chocolate chip cookie using a bar of semi-sweet chocolate made by Nestle. The new dessert soon became very popular. Wakefield contacted Nestle and they struck a deal. The company would print her recipe on the cover of all their semi-sweet chocolate bars, and she would get a lifetime supply. What a ripoff!
Wait, that's all she got? She just got chocolate?
Lifetime supply of chocolate you can't eat. That semi-sweet stuff. Nestle began marketing chocolate chips to be used, especially for cookies.
Yep.
Wakefield wrote a cookbook, Toll House Tried and True Recipes, that went through 39 printings. So that's why they're called Toll House. I tried to tell you.
Do you think that she... No, wait, here's a question. Do you think that... So that because she sold off the right to this, which would become one of the most legendary recipes of all time, that do you think she then waived residual cookie money off of because she got a lifetime supply of chocolate?
Yes.
Oh, man. I love... You know, it's so sad when you hear about deals like that where someone... What was another? There was something with one of the cereals. But it was like, you know, yeah, give us this. We'll give you, you know, here's $100. All right. That's, you know, it's probably the best I'll ever do with this. And then, you know, next thing you know, it's an icon.
$1 billion, yeah.
Oh, billion times over.
Yep, the fire started New Year's Eve 1984 in the kitchen. It was a cookie-related accident. No, I don't know if it was cookies or not.
She was crazy drunk and just throwing chocolate chips around like, this is all I got now. This is your inheritance, children. Eat your chocolate chips.
So you're going to eat a McRib? Speaking of food, McRib is back. And this is weird, man, because this negates having, I've told you before, probably on the podcast, this negates having the McRib locator. My friend Rawls, the day before the McRib nationwide launch, found on the locator that they were in Knightdale, North Carolina, which is an hour. Nah, it's not an hour. I don't know. It's a good drive from where he lives. And he drove to get his two McRibs the day before they came out nationwide when he could have waited less than 24 hours and got McRibs right up the street from his house.
It's funny because it reminds me when guys used to wait outside at games, like video game stores, to buy like whatever game the night before. Like it comes out at midnight, we're there at 12:01 or like a movie premiere. Like you're really going out of your way to get a McRib when now they're like, yeah, they're going to be everywhere. They're not going to run out. I haven't felt that burning desire to have one.
Didn't we get them together a couple years ago? Like, you know, I eat differently now than I used to.
Yeah, but I feel like we get them. Like, we get all fired up, and then we get it, and then we're like, and then it's over. it's like, that was it. And then you're just left with this, you know, red residue on your hands, and you're like, what did I do? what did I do to myself? That was like the last time I wanted a Big Mac. Like, I was all about the Big Mac. And I'm like, I want this. It's going to be so good. And I ate it. And I got done. I'm like, that wasn't what I thought.
Come on, man. You mean it wasn't what you thought? They hadn't changed them.
No, but it just didn't. It didn't hit me in the soul the way like I wanted it so bad. Like, I envisioned. It's like you picture the commercial. You know what I mean? And you're like, you're seeing that thing, and it looks, and you're getting in the drive-thru, and you're like, oh, and it's in the bag, and you rip it open the box. Oh, yeah, and then you eat it, and you're like,
it's over now.
What have I done?
Oh, well, I did it. But see, that's part of my thing is the McRib used to be such an event for me, and we didn't have them in D.C., and so when I would come down to visit, I would get bags of them, take them back up the road, and freeze them.
Yeah.
And that way I would be like, I'll have these until I go back next time. And then I'd, night eat and eat the whole dang bag. But I'm thinking now, like I'm looking at a picture of a McRib right now online, and it looks fantastic, and it brings back all those memories of the McRib. And I order it without onions so that I can
me too.
Get it hot and gee whiz. And I'm thinking it looks so fantastic. But what if I get it?
And then you pour the fries into the thing, and then you get some of that sauce on the fries.
Oh, and put it. And after you have a couple bites, you put a couple of fries on the McRib so you get that whole meld. But then what if I go get the McRib, 2020 McRib? I could count on it. This year has been awful. I go get a McRib. I know what it's going to be like. And then I eat it, and it's like,
All right, here's what we might have to do. So we might have to have a socially distant play date and go get McRibs. Like, we live pretty close to each other, so I mean, we could just go meet. There's a few McDonald's within our region.
There's one up on Green Valley.
Yep, there is that one up on Green Valley. So maybe close. What we do, we'll go head over to Steve's BP and get some gas.
I love those guys.
And then go over and get some McRibs.
I'll tell you a story about Steve's real quick. I had broken a wheel on my car. That dang car. Steve makes a joke. Yeah, you can't come in here. Every time you come in here, I put a tire on your car. That car loves tires. Well, anyway, I was losing air on one of my tires, and I took it in there for them to hopefully find a nail, whatever.
Right.
And as it turned out, the wheel was broken.
So you broke your rim.
Yeah. On a pothole. That car loves potholes. And we've got some legendary ones around here. Like where that hot mom lives, when I'm looking to see if I can get a glimpse of her, I hit that pothole. And it's not like a ba-boom. It's like a ba-boom!
Oh, yeah. You know it. There used to be a ton of those in D.C. where you hit it and it'd just be like, oh, that's probably broke something.
The whole axle. But anyway, so before we knew that the wheel was broken, we have this system where I'll go over there. I'll say, Steve, I need you to do this and that. And he'll get in the car with me, and I'll drive over to my house, and then he'll get in the driver's seat and drive my car home. So we're driving to my house, and there's this old dude who walks his giant white dog, and the dog drives me crazy because it's, arm. It'll bark at everything. It barks at a tree. It'll bark at the mailbox. It'll bark at every car that goes by. No matter what, it'll turn around. It'll get all the way down the road and then be like, oh, I forgot. Turn around and bark at you.
Yeah.
So he's walking down the road. And he's a little guy, and the dog is bigger than he is. And Steve goes, look at that, man. That dog's walking him, isn't he? And I said, Steve, that guy is a mime. He said, a what? I said, he's a mime. That's what he did for a living. I think he's retired now, but he's a mime. He goes, a mime? What's that? I said, those guys, white painted faces are kind of like clowns. And then I acted out the thing where I was in a box.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, how about that? Well, I'm a clown that works at a gas station. Cool moment. I love those guys, man. They're like,
I just like that you can get in my car. Let's go for a ride.
He's like, five generations deep over there at that place. I always say that. All right. So we've got this thing on the Facebook page. This is so cool. If you hadn't done it yet, I had to dig through this thing. It was posted up on November 18th, but I have been wanting to get into this. It's what's something you've done that you're reasonably confident you're the only person on my friends list who has done it? And some of these are incredible. I'm going to blow through these fast. Ready?
Okay.
Deidre, set myself on fire several times. Cindy, skinny dipped in the Mississippi. Tracy, ate breakfast with blind melon. Debbie, had leeches on my legs from swimming at Moosehead Lake. Oh, Patty ate pork brains and eggs.
Ew. Oh.
Tamara, born on an island in the Pacific.
Could you be more Pacific?
Laura, flew from the West Coast to the East Coast by myself at age 13. My arms were so tired.
Nice one. But I'm pumped.
Shannon, almost fell off a cliff in Nevada when I was a kid. I was literally hanging onto a bush. My brother saved my life.
Oh, my God. I want to hear that story.
Isn't that wild? Shelley, I married one of my musical heroes. We don't get to find out who?
Yanni.
Michael, couldn't hold it. Had to drop a deuce in a church parking lot on my way to work at 5 a.m. Lost a nice hat that day. Jody, did shots with a famous NASCAR driver on New Year's Eve in 1999 when the world was coming to an end.
Side note, I know a guy who had to use the bathroom in the bushes in front of bricks on Lawndale.
You know, the worst thing is when you're having a bathroom emergency and you're thinking everything's going right and then you get busted. This happened to me on the Eastern Shore the other day. I had been holding it all the way from South Hill, Virginia till Cheriton, which is 3 hours. I had to pee in South Hill, and I held it all the way to Cheriton. And then I go, we're buying bags of oysters, and I run into the store, which is next to where the seafood trucks are, and they've got dang like a Florida, like a stand up full of sunglasses blocking the bathroom door, which tells me they have no restroom for me.
Oh,
so I run outside. And I'm like, what do I do? I'm finna explode. I'm going to ruin my bladder like the host of Survivor, What's-His-Face, did. So I go between the two giant seafood trucks. Nobody can see me. Nobody's coming. I'm in the middle of the Eastern Shore of Virginia. It's nobody out there. So I'm taking care of business. And the guy who's coming to sell us the oysters pulls right up in between the two trucks. Yay. Okay, here we go. This is a great one. Pamela, this isn't the great one. This is I'm getting to it. Pamela, I've saved two children from drowning, one while on a cruise ship.
Wow.
Lester knocked a butterfly out of midair with a dirt clod. Now that is impressive.
Wow.
Lester. Carolyn, in the winter, I carried water from a mountain spring with bear tracks around it. Don't remember ever seeing the bear.
What?
Janice,
oh,
been kissed by a rock star. Katie, watched them film Mr. Destiny in my childhood neighborhood and met Linda Hamilton.
Ooh, that's cool.
Diane, knocked on Desi Arnaz's house during a glitzy party and asked to use his phone because our houseboat broke loose from the towboat.
Oh, my God. That's another one. See, I love stuff like that, where it's like, yeah, it's crazy enough that you're knocking on his door, but it's because your houseboat set adrift.
Lynn, dressed as Birdie, the early bird from McDonald's at a 4th of July event, supporting the Ronald McDonald House, thought I was going to pass out. That costume is all foam felt and wool.
Real talk, that goes back to that time I had to get in that sweaty Elmo costume that time.
Oh, geez. You remember when we had the Easter thing and we had all the interns getting in and out of that sweaty, dirty, soaked Easter bunny?
Yeah, the sweatiest, hottest Easter bunny.
God, I thought
each
we were
one.
Gonna,
yeah.
I thought we were going to kill them all.
Yeah, I felt bad for the last one.
Oh, filthy. It was so drenched with everybody's sweat, and they're like, oh, God, do I have to get in there? Well, I mean, it's your internship. You do whatever you want. You don't have to.
Do you remember when we did the 4th of July? We had the hot dog costume that was real gross, and I wore it all day, and it was, soaked with my sweat.
Yeah.
And then the dude from Nantucket thought it would be hilarious and throw it on. And I didn't have time to stop and be like, you probably don't want to do that. He's like, look at me, I'm a hot dog. And I'm like, oh, he is just all in my own stink.
Danny played the role of the Chicken Man on the Chicken Town episode of Billions.
What? I'll have to Google that.
Lynette buried a neighbor's dead cat thinking it was hers.
And it wasn't dead.
Oh. Come on, man. Melinda watched all the episodes of The Great British Baking Show.
I got to call you out. I know a certain somebody right here who's done that. I am
Katie,
all about that show.
Katie has been pepper sprayed as a bystander in a bar fight while pregnant.
Oh, I got pepper sprayed from a distance at the University of Maryland when they won the national title that one year.
You got pepper sprayed?
It was so much in the air, I couldn't help it.
Do you know my nephew, who is a Marine, got certified because he was pepper sprayed directly in the eyes. He got a certificate for that, and it was some kind of, it's stronger than what the police use, and it's like 15 million on the Scoville.
Oh, God,
it's
that's
pure
awful.
Capsaicin. And he said that his eyes were swollen shut for 3 days off of that. Danielle said she was on the Jim and Tammy Faye Baker show as a kid.
Neat.
Ooh, Brighton got bit by a baby alligator off the North Carolina coast.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, not cool, but...
Donna licked Morris Day's hand on stage after dancing with him.
Was that at our show we did recently?
It very well could have been. Tony played saxophone on stage in the Ukraine. Now, we can't do all of these, but this just gives you an idea about how cool everybody is, man. This is so cool.
I love stuff like that. That's actually really neat because it's funny, like a lot of the... Because I was thinking back, like, what something that I could say... And I, you know, I don't know. I slept in an igloo at Boy Scout camp.
Did you?
Yeah, we built it and we stayed in it. Like, because being in New Hampshire, we had winter Boy Scout camp, so we had to drag a dog sled from station to station.
Gee whiz!
And doing all the stuff. That's where I wore my mom's pantyhose.
Pantyhose. I was going to ask you if this was
boom,
pantyhose.
Full circle.
Chrissy helped put out a fire in the woods in a nightie and slippers.
Look at her go.
Oh, wow. Sandra had a serial killer as a neighbor in an apartment building.
Okay, Sandra, message me. I want to hear this story badly. Sorry.
You're a weirdo.
I'm sorry. I have a weird thing with the serial killer stuff.
You're a weirdo. Mike beat Kip Winger in a game of pool. I'm not going to do any more, but God. Sheena took a selfie with a bear.
Okay, Sheena. Was that the smartest thing you could have done?
Dude, isn't this cool? I mean, I wish, you know, they've got this thing on Facebook now where you can click a button and make a book out of your pictures or whatever.
Yeah.
I would make a book out of these. I would love to have these as a book, but they would be great with pictures to go with it. Like her selfie with the bear would be just,
you know,
banging.
What's crazy to me is that, like, that to me is a podcast. Like, that's a podcast I want to hear. Is like
all of these?
Yeah, I'd love it if we all got a chance. Like, I'd love to go through everybody's story and have them tell the story about what happened to them. Like, that's
that just goes
to show it's like, you know, you never know. Everybody's got something crazy that you'll really surprise you. God, so, I really want to know more about the Desi Arnaz one.
Yours is what yours would be, sleeping in an igloo.
I guess. I mean, I've done other weird stuff, but. You know, dude, lived on a billboard.
I don't know what
covered
mine
in
would
bird
be.
Poop.
Mine. I always think about maybe meeting the Rolling Stones, but that's a go-to. You know, we were in this business, so
yeah,
we're afforded that kind
of
stuff.
Well, I was trying to think of stuff that didn't have to do with, like, you know, stage or select, you know, like meeting musicians and stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the best I could think of is that
fell through the floor of an old tobacco warehouse and. One leg went through the floor, the other leg went straight up in the air because of the way I fell through the floor. I almost died then. I mean, I've got a lot of almost died stories, but...
I don't know if I've ever really almost died. I've gotten lucky. let's see. No, I mean, I've been places and done stuff, but nothing. It's like when you hear other people's stories too, you doubt yourself. You doubt what yours
exactly.
is.
Exactly. Exactly. Like... jumped off the side of a rock quarry into water so deep that I couldn't find my way back to the top.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that was. And, oh, my God, one time we were out there jumping off into the rock quarry and came out taking a break, and these three guys in full scuba suits came walking up out of the water, and we were like, do we run? Do we stay? So that was pretty weird, too.
We did that. We went and jumped off some, I mean, it felt like a cliff, but it was nighttime, but it was in the middle of the night. We'd been out, and then it was down here. It was after I moved down here, I think. And then we went somewhere and jumped in the water somewhere, and that was crazy.
But did the guys in the scuba suits walk out?
We didn't see them, but they were there. You know.
Are you serious?
No, I don't. I'm just kidding.
Oh, you're killing me now.
They're always in the water. It's them and sea creatures.
I feel like we're just about out of time.
Oh, yeah, we're at it.
Okay, cool. Hey, thanks so much. If you've done something that you feel like no one else has ever done, let us know about it. We love to hear from you. You can call the Simon line at any time if you make calls on your phone, or if you haven't, you can do it. 336-373-0987 is the number. Get you on the Simon line. You can make a request. You can leave a comment, whatever you want. Go to our Facebook page. Go to our website, 987simon.com. We would just love to hear from you at any time. And if things go well, if they go right, we'll do another one of these podcasts in a week. You got a final thought over there, Splatty?
I got to go find the name of the girl who lived next to the serial killer. I want to hear that story.
Oh, shoot. I already closed it.
It's all right. I can find it.
It was one of those names I mentioned.
Sheila, Joni,
Deidre,
Katrina.
Mary.
Okay.
All right. Thanks so much. We love you. Next time.
Bye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.